We're busy in hour two, as we told you, as we head to the mayor's office. The mayor's on assignment this week, so instead, we will talk to our great friend, Kaisa Goodman, who is the, oh no, I try to get this title right every time, and I screw it up every time. Oh, geez. I'm going to say the Director of Public Engagement. Did I get it right?
Yes, you did.
Yes! I blame Mary Catherine Carmichael for all that. She had to go through all the times I screwed it up. I used to call it community engagement, but I think I've finally broken the streak there. It's public engagement. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Mike. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, I appreciate you coming back, so that means I didn't screw it up too much the first time, so that's always good. Now, we've been busy here lately. Mayor Hamilton, we talk to every Tuesday. We talk to Mary Catherine Carmichael every Thursday. Why? Because we have enough stuff that's going on. And, making news headlines this afternoon. Well, the city is going to be back at it for parklets and outdoor dining on Kirkwood, and this project is very near and dear to you. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, absolutely. You are correct. It's a favorite of mine personally. In my previous role in economic and sustainable development, I did get to work with our partners on Kirkwood and Downtown Bloomington, Inc., and all of the many departments that make this happen. So, like you said, we will again see outdoor dining on certain blocks of Kirkwood, as well as in the parklets, which is outdoor dining in parking spaces protected by those beautiful orange jersey barriers. That will run from April 3rd through September 30th this year. And that is an opportunity for folks to eat outside and enjoy the beautiful weather and the life over Kirkwood, and just another way to support our fantastic downtown restaurant.
And as we were asking Mayor Hamilton about this as well, we were just waiting and waiting and waiting. None of this could be possible without the city council's go-ahead, correct?
Absolutely. So this is definitely a collaborative effort with the council and, like I said, lots of different city departments pitch in to make this possible.
And as we move forward, it's a shorter than it was last year. Was there any reflection on why that is the case? I know kind of wrapping up in the middle of football season is interesting because we know that's a big touristy time of year and that draws a lot of people to town. Was there any insight on why this is going to end earlier than maybe the last time we did it?
Yeah, it really just comes down to weather. So we recognize that it's a little bit of a trade-off, outdoor dining for parking having that thoroughfare of Kirkwood open. And so we just paid attention to last year and when people were most able to utilize it and decided to start it a little later and end it a little earlier so that we're getting full use out of it. And that was based on feedback from a bunch of different restaurants and businesses on Kirkwood and in the downtown area, and surveys that we did in partnership with Downtown Bloomington, Inc.
So that's the reason, folks. There you go. We can't guarantee October weather. We have some great Octobers. We have some bad Octobers. We have things in between. But what we can't do, and I think, Kaisa, what we've learned over the years is it's a hassle to open and close it on weekends or daily or once a week or whatever else. But just because of the labor that's involved, it also sends mixed messages. Delivery drivers don't know what days are open or what days aren't open. So are we getting better the more we practice doing this?
Exactly. This is something that started during COVID, kind of in an emergency sense of, oh my gosh, people can't eat in restaurants. And it was really hard for the businesses. It was really hard for the residents and the visitors. And so, like you said, we've gotten better. We've learned over the years since we started this in 2020. And what began as a pilot project is something that we've been able to refine. And hopefully it'll be our best season yet this year.
When we hope, well, Mother Nature, we can't do anything about that. We can't put a tarp up over Kirkwood and hope everything stays dry. So we do have to hope in that sense. And speaking of Kirkwood, how different are the boundaries or the parklets or the road closures? How different are they this coming year, starting on April 3rd, than what we've seen in the past, or is it awfully similar?
It's similar. So on Kirkwood, it's the half block the west side of the block between Walnut and Washington, outside like Uptown and Farm. And then it's the two blocks closest to Sample Gate, so Indiana to Dunn and Dunn to Grant. So that's the same blocks as last year.
And we all know that that is, I'm trying to think too, was that between Grant and Dunn, that's in front of like Village Deli and Cafe Pizzeria, Nick's, all of that. That will be closed off as well?
Yes.
Great. So if you remember it from last year, it will be the same. Now, we know places around the square have been closed off to parklets in the past. Was that the same response from those merchants, or is that going to be a little different?
Yeah, so the parklets are on an application basis. So unlike Kirkwood, where we have to close the whole block or half block, parklets, it depends on who applies. But based on the feedback we've gotten from the restaurants who enjoyed having the parklets in the past, we expect many of the same folks to participate this year.
So that is a project that each individual business for the parklets, they can determine whether they want those spots to be used for parking or outdoor dining. That comes directly down to the business owner, if I have that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So the business owner or business owners, we have some folks who actually share them. I think it's really cool. This year, last year, Inkwell and the Orbit Room shared them because Inkwell has daytime hours and Orbit has nighttime. So they went in on it together and split the cost, which is a fantastic example of partnership and working together. And so they both submitted an application, and those spots right in front of their businesses were outdoor dining. So we let the businesses decide kind of what they want to do with the parking spaces right in front of their business. We have to take some other factors into account and make sure that it's feasible, but we do let folks decide.
So this is not forced on anybody. This is brought to the city. This is brought to from the business leaders, and they say, hey, we would like to do this. Can you help us? So I think there's been some misnomers about who makes this project go. Well, the city just has to make it official, codify it, do whatever. But this really comes from the business owner. So I'd always like people to be aware of that. The main question I get, Kaisa Goodman is our guest. She is the director of public engagement for the city of Bloomington. Why is nothing happening on 4th Street? And is the simple answer, well, the business owners on 4th Street chose not to. Would that be the simplest way to put it?
Yeah, I think so, Mike. And when we saw the Kirkwood closure happen the first time in 2020, that was very much led by the business owners on Kirkwood and the Kirkwood Community Association, or the KCA, as we call them. When I worked in that department, we actually did a lot of intentional outreach to the businesses on 4th Street, recognizing that they didn't have as much of a formal organization as Kirkwood does with the KCA. And what we found is that they, one, do a lot of takeout business, and they really wanted people to be able to drive to get carryout and park. And also, the businesses on the restaurants on 4th Street as a whole already have more outdoor dining. Buildings are set back a little bit further, and they've got some really nice patios and gardens and outdoor spaces. And so they already, the overwhelming response we got when we did that door-to-door check-in with folks was that they felt like they already had enough outdoor dining and would rather leave the street open.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So if you're looking at the map, here on the radio, we have to visualize the map since we can't just throw a graphic up on the old screen. For those of you new to town or new to this or new to anything, here's what's open. All the cross streets north to south are open. Washington, Lincoln, Grant, Dunn, and Indiana Avenue. They will be closed the east to west corridors between Indiana Avenue and Dunn and Lincoln. Now, between Dunn and Grant, between Grant and Washington Street, there is plenty of parking. So for those of you who go to the library, there'll be parking right in front. Orange Theory Fitness, I think that's what it's called. You can tell I haven't spent much time there. Churches and other things. So there is plenty of street parking on 4th Street. There is plenty of street parking on Washington, Lincoln, Grant, et cetera, that goes crossways as well. So it is not completely closed off in that sense. There was some debate, wasn't there, Kaisa, about perhaps having between Dunn and the Sample Gates open, ready to go? What was the idea there that did not work out?
Are you referring to the block between Indiana and Dunn?
Correct.
Yeah, so again, we talked to those business owners, and it's not... It's not unanimous. And the difference between the Parklet program and Kirkwood is that Kirkwood, obviously, we're closing a whole block. It's not just the parking spaces in front of that business. But there were more folks in favor of it, and we felt like it also creates a really nice entrance from Sample Gates. So if you're walking through Sample Gates towards the city, you've got two blocks of outdoor dining ahead of you. And we've also really seen folks use that space for other things. We see folks, you know, using that as a gathering space. It's an opportunity for engagement of that public space.
Yeah, people's park is down there, right?
Yoga. I see people doing yoga. I see people dancing. All types of stuff happening there on the street. And so it felt like kind of a nice way for people to have that gateway into the city as they leave campus.
And the good news is this will all start on April 3rd. It will be all wrapped up by, did you say October 1st? Is that what we decided? Not as late as last year when we had the entire month of October. So a little bit different,
correct.
But great for summertime, great for any time. And it's, again, we know we have bars and restaurants down in that area as well that maybe less traffic is better than more traffic, especially in the nicer times of the season. So other than that, nothing's going on, right? We've got that all taken care of. How do the parklets work? I know there are people in the past that say, well, why do I, you know, you're taking up parking spots. Do they pay for these? You kind of illustrated it there with the Orbit Room in Inkwell. That's anywhere that it's closed off, right? We just don't pick and choose our favorites or not our favorites.
Right. So, like I said, businesses have to apply, and they can really only use the parking spaces in front of their business.
They can't encroach. They can't take up a whole block.
Right.
They can't go around the
exactly.
corner. So, yeah, again, we want to just make sure that people understand how this came together.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think that's important as well.
Yeah.
The city's still going to make some money off of this. That was another concern people had. Well, if these spots are going to be taken up, are we going to raise parking in other places to make up for the loss there? What's the economic impact on this?
Yeah, good question. So we're not going to raise parking prices in other places because of this. So there is a cost. The parklets are $1,250 per parklet for the season. So if two businesses were to share it, they would split that. And then for Kirkwood, it depends on the occupancy of the restaurant. So we realize there are some small restaurants and some much larger ones. So for a small restaurant with occupancy under 20, it's only $500 for the season. If you're looking at a place that's 101 people or more, it's $3,500. And then if you're between 20 and 100, it's $1,250 like the parklet. So it's the goal is to stage it so that the bigger restaurants and bars are paying more for the season. And I don't have all the math right in front of me. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say we're not making more money because, like you said, that there's lost parking revenue. But we're trying to make it accessible so that restaurants can't afford to do this and use that space, but also offset the cost due to the lost parking revenue a little bit.
Gotcha. That does make sense. Kaisa Goodman is our guest. She is the public engagement director of the city of Bloomington and is pinch hitting for Mayor Hamilton here on a Tuesday afternoon. So we've got all of that figured out. That's the good news. We'll see everybody on April 3rd. And then right that morning, right, is when everything will start to be cordoned off in the magic orange barriers will pop up, and we'll have fun with all of that. So where we will not have the taste of Bloomington, as we learned last week officially, we will still have kind of that outdoor feel, the alfresco dining and atmosphere of springtime and summertime, but from April all the way until the beginning of October. So that is pretty cool. Now, we're busy with other things, lots of other things. Why? Well, the city's, it's never boring, is it? Jack Hopkins grants, those are coming soon to the grant process has to be taken care of by the end of the month. Tell everybody what the Jack Hopkins Social Services Committee is looking to see on those applications.
Absolutely. So the Jack Hopkins Committee, the goal of that is to fund projects that improve the lives of our community's most vulnerable residents. So we define that as people who are low to moderate income, who are children, the elderly, people with a disability or otherwise disadvantaged. And since it was established almost 30 years ago, we have allocated over $5.8 million to local social service agencies.
That's a lot of money.
That's quite a bit of money.
And how does that process work? Everybody that applies for it gets a little piece of the pie, or do you have? Is there a grading process, a review process for folks who don't understand how that works, such as me? How does that work?
Yeah, good question. So this year, there's $323,000 that are available to distribute, and there is a committee. So it's made up of four city council members and then three residents who are not elected officials. And so we invite social service agencies to apply. The deadline, like you said, is the end of this month, Friday, the 31st of March by 4 p.m. And then that committee of seven folks reviews those applications and determines how they're going to divvy up that $323,000.
How is that money moving forward, that $323,000? Is that less than, more than we've dealt with in the past? Did the pandemic affect that? What does that number look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. It looks like last year we dedicated $317,000, so it's pretty similar. In 2021, it was a little bit more, it was about $500,000. And I believe that was partly because of COVID. But it's usually around that amount. There was, an extra $200,000 in 2020 as well, again, because of COVID.
Oh, that makes sense. So we're trying to get it back into who needs it the most. So most programs are aware of this. We just bring that up to remind everybody to pass that on to make sure your grants and everything else are getting written in the timely fashion for all of that. The Lower Cascades Park Road, is that open, closed? Are we deciding? Who's deciding on how that? This comes up every once in a while, Kaisa, and I just get lost on where we're at.
Yeah, another good question, Mike. So the road is open. It is not currently closed. As you've mentioned, this is something we've been talking about for a little bit, trying to decide if it makes the most sense to make that a multi-use path that is not open to cars or to make it open to cars throughout the whole year. So what I expect, hope, the mayor has stated that he hopes that the city council makes a decision one way or another this year. So that is in the city council's hands. I think I'll just say personally, I think that there's good points to be made both ways. I certainly see the benefit of having it closed so that it's a trail that people can utilize without the, vehicular traffic being around them. But again, that's in the city council's hands, and I'm hopeful that it gets determined for once and for all at some point this year.
Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that to hear where that moves along. Kaisa Goodman is the public engagement director of the city of Bloomington, and she's pinch-hitting for Mayor Hamilton today. I said an hour ago I wasn't going to get on you for this because you're not in charge of it. But if you could give me a couple reasons why, and if you don't know, that's even better. But I know that you know because you're answering this question probably as much as I am. How and why are we putting up do not turn on red signs in 80 odd places when nobody reads the signs or pays attention to them anyhow? I personally feel that it's a colossal waste of resources in that, but I know we just wouldn't do something because we felt like it. There's got to be an answer. I might not like it, but there's got to be an answer as to why, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you're right. That is a question we've been getting a lot. So a couple of years ago, we saw the tragic death of a pedestrian who was walking in the downtown area where someone turned right on red without, kind of looking in every direction first. And I believe that there have been two situations in which that's happened where somebody has passed away because of a vehicle pedestrian accident where someone was turning right on red. And so it really just comes down to safety. And look, I mean, we all drive, right? We've all had that happen where we're sitting at the red light and there's nobody coming and there's a no turn on red sign and it's frustrating. But this went to both the Bike and Pedestrian Safety Commission and also the Traffic Commission, and they both endorsed this measure. And then it was approved by the City Council a couple years ago. And so it really just comes down to asking traffic to fully stop and wait just to avoid that loss of life, if at all possible.
Now, and I don't know if you can answer this question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. How enforceable is this going to be? And the reason I bring it up is we have state legislators and everybody else say, well, you can't be on your mobile device while driving, and you see people on their mobile device while driving the whole time. Is this something we're cracking down on, or is this just in place to say we're trying to make it safer for everybody? I mean, you can't have, if we have 82 more signs, that doesn't include the ones that were already said don't turn on. You don't have cameras or anybody positioned there like a lifeguard, right?
Right. So, I mean, it'll be enforced just like any other traffic laws. We're not adding staff to monitor this or cameras, like you said. The hope is that when that sign is there, it'll remind people. And I'll even say for myself, right, like I've been sitting at lights and seen it, and thought, okay, right, I know not to turn. So it's a reminder, and just like any other traffic laws, you know, we're not gonna have perfect compliance, but it is sure. It is the law. Just like everything else, we hope that people will do what's in the best interest of, you know, the community and all the residents, and just take that extra moment and make sure that our streets are as safe as possible for everybody.
Hard to argue with safety, absolutely, but it's just one of those environmental questions, the double-edged sword. Mm-hmm. Why do we have traffic circles so we don't sit at a stoplight and wait 45 seconds when we could be on our merry ways, and then we have this, so it's kind of goofy. But you didn't put this together, so I'm not going to get on your case. I'm going to get on the mayor's case when I talk to him in 2 weeks, and we'll have some fun with him trying to make heads and tails with it. We've got a ton of things at the city's website. Please go to bloomington.in.gov and see all the news that's breaking. But we're not going to bother Kaisa all day. She did a great job pinch hitting for the mayor. But I know you'll come back, please. I know he's in his last year. It's not like he's going to show up every Tuesday. What am I going to do? File a complaint?
Well, I know he loves being on the show, Mike, but I'm happy to fill in any time that he asks me to.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad, because you always give us great information as well, and all the jobs you've had in the city, too. You've got a great purview of all the fun things that are happening. Come back and say hi. Have a great spring break, but the city's not closed or anything. Well, everybody else is going to be gone, but you guys are hard at work next week, right?
Yep, we'll be here. Everything's got to keep running. So.
Trash needs to be picked up. Water needs to flow. All that fun stuff.
Absolutely.
And the internet's open 24 hours a day as well, so you can take care of it that way. All right, Kaisa, enjoy the rest of the sunshine here on a Tuesday, and come back and visit us, please.
Thank you so much, Mike.